This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. After a historic summit earlier this year, President Trump declared there was no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Now, though, it appears that country is expanding a missile base. According to NPR, that base may be capable of housing long-range missiles that could, in theory, hit the United States. U.S. Senator from Colorado Cory Gardner sits on the Foreign Relations Committee and chairs the subcommittee on East Asia. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
A second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is planned for early next year. I wonder if you think that's a good idea, given that North Korea seems to say one thing but actually do another.
I just met with a special envoy to North Korea, Steve Biegun, in my office and had that very same question for him. I remain skeptical of a second summit that is just a meeting to rehash old promises that haven't been fulfilled. And I think that's where we have to provide oversight and make sure that this isn't just a chance to play patty cake in meetings with the North Koreans, but we actually get some results and concrete evidence of steps toward denuclearization.
Is the Trump administration naive here?
You know, you've got people like Steve Biegun who have been very heavily involved with North Korea for decades. You have John Bolton who has been heavily involved in North Korea. I don't think they're naive, but there's an old saying that a frog sometimes doesn't notice it's boiling when it's already in the pot. And so are they noticing the boil around them where North Korea is slipping back into their old, we're just going to say enough to get you to go along with us, and then pretty soon they find themselves boiling, meaning that North Korea is just back to its old ways. So I think there's a real risk and concern that I have in that respect.
Do I hear Cory Gardner telling the White House, I would advise you not to move forward with the second summit?
I have told the White House I'm very concerned about this second summit. I've told the White House again, and I related it directly to Mr. Biegun, that if this is not about denuclearization and concrete steps that we see toward denuclearization, they shouldn't do it.
Let's turn to the Mueller-Russia probe. A key but short-lived member of the Trump administration has given Mueller, quote, substantial assistance. The special counsel, therefore, is recommending no jail time for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. What exactly Flynn offered up is unclear, but it's an important development, apparently, in an investigation that the president could seek to derail. Outgoing Arizona Senator Jeff Flake has called for a Mueller protection bill. The Senate majority leader says that would be a futile gesture. Do you agree that such legislation is futile, or do you think it would send an important signal to the White House?
Well, I think what sends an important signal to the White House is our support in the Senate for the Mueller investigation, and that transcends any legislation. I haven't heard a senator yet who's opposed to the Mueller investigation. This is critically important that this investigation be completed. It needs to be completed. I've said that many times and will continue to support the investigation. I think it's in the best interest of the president. If the president believes that he did nothing wrong, then the Mueller investigation will find that. And if there is something wrong, the American people need to know that. And so that's why I think this is so important.
Why not put the weight behind it with some sort of legislation?
Well, I think the weight behind it is the fact that we're not playing politics here. And I'm concerned that others want to play politics. I want to see this investigation carried through. Look, if the president wants to disband the Mueller investigation, if he wants to find out what it feels like to touch the sun, he can disband the Mueller investigation. It's not a good thing.
So you don't support any legislative action in that regard. If President Trump moved to fire Bob Mueller, do you think the president should face some sort of consequence? What would that be?
Well, I think if you want to find out what it feels like to touch the sun, take that direction, take that action. The president has not done this. He will not do this, and he should not do this.
I wonder why you wouldn't want a Mueller protection bill.
Well, I think I've been very clear. Some people want to play politics. This investigation needs to continue, and it's in the best interest of this country for this. I'm not about playing politics. I'm about getting results.
You think that a Mueller protection bill is playing politics, then?
I've answered the question about my support for this Mueller investigation. It must continue.
Let's talk about Saudi Arabia. Your colleague in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, wrote in the Wall Street Journal this week, it is important for Congress to signal that there is no excuse for recent Saudi behavior. Graham is speaking of the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which was apparently approved by the highest echelons of the Saudi government. Of course, he's also referring to the alleged slaughter of civilians in the war in Yemen. First off, do you accept the CIA's take that the Crown Prince was responsible for Khashoggi's murder?
Oh, I have not yet had the chance to receive a briefing, as have, nor has many members of the Senate received a briefing from the CIA. I have had a chance to speak with Senator Graham and Senator Corker, who did receive the briefing, and continues to point fingers very clearly at the Crown Prince. There's no exculpatory evidence that has been put forward. There's a reason for that. It doesn't appear that there is exculpatory evidence. And so we should hold MBS, the Crown Prince, accountable for this. That's why I've supported investigations, sanctioning, suspension of our 123 nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia, and continued efforts to show what has happened to this horrific murder.
Debate, I understand, could begin Monday on a measure to buck the Trump administration and force withdrawal of U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. The chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, is quoted in the Washington Examiner saying, "My guess is it's got more than 51 votes." Would such a measure have your vote, Senator Gardner?
Well, I'd have to look at the measure again that finally comes forward. I think there's a lot of talk right now and moving pieces in the negotiation. Look, what we can't do is weaken our efforts against terrorism, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Iranian-backed Houthis and others who wish to destabilize not only the Middle East, but the United States. We can't confuse the actions that MBS took with actions that would embolden terrorists. And I think that's a very, very big concern and should be a concern of every single one of my colleagues. The Secretary of State was concerned that any such action could take away the negotiations taking place, I believe, starting today in Europe.
That's
with
right.
The Houthis.
Yes.
You know what? We need to have those negotiations continue. And if the United States were to do something that would embolden the Iranian-backed Houthis, they might walk away from the table and the conflict in Yemen would continue. But let's be clear. There are some who would like to enable, through their actions, politics that would result in an empowered ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Iran.
You think that that could be an effect of using the instrument of saying, we're withdrawing U.S. support of this war in Yemen?
You have ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Iranians who have flooded the zone in Yemen. Mm. We know what they want to do, and I will not empower them.
Some domestic issues now. Student loan debt. Nationally, it's increased by more than 150% over the last decade. The average debt load in Colorado is $27,000. You've introduced a bill that allows employers to help pay off their workers' student loans up to $10,000 a year, tax-free. You say it's based on a 401k model. Just briefly, what kind of difference do you hope it'll make?
I hope this is a big difference. When I go around Colorado and I meet with the businesses, employers, one of the first things they tell me is they need help finding and attracting and retaining a workforce. And when I talk to college students and recent graduates, they talk about the fact that their student loan is keeping them from starting a family when they would like to, or from buying a house because they have to pay the student loan and can't afford the down payment on a house. So this is a private sector solution. Businesses are already making contributions to in some cases, to employees to help pay off their student loans. Well, let's just get Washington out of the way then. So this solution says there's no tax on this event. The business isn't going to pay or collect a tax on it, and the employee isn't going to pay or collect a tax on this. This is a way to put all of that money, up to $10,000 a year, into student loans, allowing them to save for retirement, allowing them to start that family, allowing them to buy that home that they would otherwise defer.
In Colorado, Republicans took a beating in the midterms. State government is now entirely under Democratic control. Republican Congressman Mike Kaufman attributes his defeat in the House specifically to Coloradans wanting to hold President Trump accountable. Senator, you're up for re-election in 2020. Do you change anything about how you approach governing after the election?
I think if you look at Colorado, Colorado is an independent state. This is a state that is a third Republican, a third Democrat, a third unaffiliated, a few more unaffiliated now. It's a state that defeated tax increases across the board. It defeated an anti-oil and gas provision just a couple years ago. It overwhelmingly defeated the universal health care ballot initiative. So it remains an independent state. What I'm going to approach the next several years with as we get ready for whatever comes next, making sure that I'm looking out for the results of the Colorado people, the American people, doing everything that we can to engage this country in success. Whether it's Barack Obama, George Bush, or Donald Trump, our president needs to be successful for this country to be successful, and I think that's a bipartisan concern.
Senator, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Republican Senator from Colorado, Cory Gardner, we spoke. This is CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. After a historic summit earlier this year, President Trump declared there was no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Now, though, it appears that country is expanding a missile base. According to NPR, the base may be capable of housing long-range missiles that could, in theory, hit the United States. U.S. Senator from Colorado Cory Gardner sits on the Foreign Relations Committee and chairs the Subcommittee on East Asia. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
A second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is planned for early next year. I wonder if you think that's a good idea, given that North Korea seems to say one thing but actually do another.
I just met with a special envoy to North Korea, Steve Biegun, in my office and had that very same question for him. I remain skeptical of a second summit that is just a meeting to rehash old promises that haven't been fulfilled. And I think that's where we have to provide oversight and make sure that this isn't just a chance to play patty cake in meetings with the North Koreans, but we actually get some results and concrete evidence of steps toward denuclearization.
Is the Trump administration naive here?
You know, you've got people like Steve Biegun who have been very heavily involved with North Korea for decades. You have John Bolton, who has been heavily involved in North Korea. I don't think they're naive, but there's an old saying that a frog sometimes doesn't notice it's boiling when it's already in the pot. And so are they noticing the boil around them where North Korea is slipping back into their old, we're just going to say enough to get you to go along with us, and then pretty soon they find themselves boiling, meaning that North Korea is just back to its old ways. So I think there's a real risk and concern that I have in that respect.
Do I hear Cory Gardner telling the White House, I would advise you not to move forward with the second summit?
I have told the White House I'm very concerned about this second summit. I've told the White House again, and I related it directly to Mr. Biegun, that if this is not about denuclearization and concrete steps that we see toward denuclearization, they shouldn't do it.
Let's turn to the Mueller-Russia probe. A key but short-lived member of the Trump administration has given Mueller, quote, substantial assistance. The special counsel, therefore, is recommending no jail time for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. What exactly Flynn offered up is unclear, but it's an important development, apparently, in an investigation that the president could seek to derail. Outgoing Arizona Senator Jeff Flake has called for a Mueller protection bill. The Senate majority leader says that would be a futile gesture. Do you agree that such legislation is futile, or do you think it would send an important signal to the White House?
Well, I think what sends an important signal to the White House is our support in the Senate for the Mueller investigation, and that transcends any legislation. I haven't heard a senator yet who's opposed to the Mueller investigation. This is critically important that this investigation be completed. It needs to be completed. I've said that many times and will continue to support the investigation. I think it's in the best interest of the president. If the president believes that he did nothing wrong, then the Mueller investigation will find that. And if there is something wrong, the American people need to know that. And so that's why I think this is so important.
Why not put the weight behind it with some sort of legislation?
Well, I think the weight behind it is the fact that we're not playing politics here. And I'm concerned that others want to play politics. I want to see this investigation carried through. Look, if the president wants to disband the Mueller investigation, if he wants to find out what it feels like to touch the sun, he can disband the Mueller investigation. It's not a good thing.
So you don't support any legislative action in that regard. If President Trump moved to fire Bob Mueller, do you think the president should face some sort of consequence? What would that be?
Well, I think if you want to find out what it feels like to touch the sun, take that direction, take that action. The president has not done this. He will not do this, and he should not do this.
I wonder why you wouldn't want a Mueller protection bill.
Well, I think I've been very clear. Some people want to play politics. This investigation needs to continue, and it's in the best interest of this country for this. I'm not about playing politics. I'm about getting results.
You think that a Mueller protection bill is playing politics, then?
I've answered the question about my support for this Mueller investigation. It must continue.
Let's talk about Saudi Arabia. Your colleague in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, wrote in the Wall Street Journal this week, it is important for Congress to signal that there is no excuse for recent Saudi behavior. Graham is speaking of the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which was apparently approved by the highest echelons of the Saudi government. Of course, he's also referring to the alleged slaughter of civilians in the war in Yemen. First off, do you accept the CIA's take that the Crown Prince was responsible for Khashoggi's murder?
Oh, I have not yet had the chance to receive a briefing, as have, nor has many members of the Senate received a briefing from the CIA. I have had a chance to speak with Senator Graham and Senator Corker, who did receive the briefing, and continues to point fingers very clearly at the Crown Prince. There's no exculpatory evidence that has been put forward. There's a reason for that. It doesn't appear that there is exculpatory evidence. And so we should hold MBS, the Crown Prince, accountable for this. That's why I've supported investigations, sanctioning, suspension of our 123 nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia, and continued efforts to show what has happened to this horrific murder.
Debate, I understand, could begin Monday on a measure to buck the Trump administration and force withdrawal of U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. The chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, is quoted in the Washington Examiner saying, "My guess is it's got more than 51 votes." Would such a measure have your vote, Senator Gardner?
Well, I'd have to look at the measure again that finally comes forward. I think there's a lot of talk right now and moving pieces in the negotiation. Look, what we can't do is weaken our efforts against terrorism. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Iranian-backed Houthis and others who wish to destabilize not only the Middle East, but the United States. We can't confuse the actions that MBS took with actions that would embolden terrorists. And I think that's a very, very big concern and should be a concern of every single one of my colleagues. The Secretary of State was concerned that any such action could take away the negotiations taking place, I believe, starting today in Europe.
That's
with
right.
The Houthis.
Yes.
You know what? We need to have those negotiations continue. And if the United States were to do something that would embolden the Iranian-backed Houthis, they might walk away from the table and the conflict in Yemen would continue. But let's be clear. There are some who would like to enable, through their actions, politics that would result in an empowered ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Iran.
You think that that could be an effect of using the instrument of saying, we're withdrawing U.S. support of this war in Yemen?
You have ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Iranians who have flooded the zone in Yemen. Mm. We know what they want to do, and I will not empower them.
Some domestic issues now. Student loan debt. Nationally, it's increased by more than 150% over the last decade. The average debt load in Colorado is $27,000. You've introduced a bill that allows employers to help pay off their workers' student loans up to $10,000 a year, tax-free. You say it's based on a 401k model. Just briefly, what kind of difference do you hope it'll make?
I hope this is a big difference. When I go around Colorado and I meet with the businesses, employers, one of the first things they tell me is they need help finding and attracting and retaining a workforce. And when I talk to college students and recent graduates, they talk about the fact that their student loan is keeping them from starting a family when they would like to, or from buying a house because they have to pay the student loan and can't afford the down payment on a house. So this is a private sector solution. Businesses are already making contributions to, in some cases, to employees to help pay off their student loans. Well, let's just get Washington out of the way then. So this solution says there's no tax on this event. The business isn't going to pay or collect a tax on it, and the employee isn't going to pay or collect a tax on this. This is a way to put all of that money, up to $10,000 a year, into student loans, allowing them to save for retirement, allowing them to start that family, allowing them to buy that home that they would otherwise defer.
In Colorado, Republicans took a beating in the midterms. State government is now entirely under Democratic control. Republican Congressman Mike Kaufman attributes his defeat in the House specifically to Coloradans wanting to hold President Trump accountable. Senator, you're up for re-election in 2020. Do you change anything about how you approach governing after the election?
I think if you look at Colorado, Colorado is an independent state. This is a state that is a third Republican, a third Democrat, a third unaffiliated, a few more unaffiliated now. It's a state that defeated tax increases across the board. It defeated an anti-oil and gas provision. Just a couple years ago, it overwhelmingly defeated the universal health care ballot initiative. So it remains an independent state. What I'm going to approach the next several years with, as we get ready for whatever comes next, making sure that I'm looking out for the results of the Colorado people, the American people, doing everything that we can to engage this country in success. Whether it's Barack Obama, George Bush, or Donald Trump, our president needs to be successful for this country to be successful, and I think that's a bipartisan concern.
Senator, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Republican Senator from Colorado, Cory Gardner, we spoke this morning. I'm Ryan Warner, CPR News.